to the Friday, September 6, 2002 session of the House Special Session Committee on Economic Growth and Job Development. Since we do not have a quorum, we are going to have an informational hearing. Only we will not be, for those of you who are here specifically for the purposes of House Bill 4072, we are not going to be working on that bill at all today. As strangely enough, we're still crunching numbers. So we are, however, going to hear a very interesting concept being brought forward to us by Representative Tom Butler. And while we do not have, as of yet, textual language, we are going to discuss this in concept as Legislative Council is currently drafting that language for Representative Butler. So, without further ado, and I will make a statement here that we're going to explore this particular opportunity through this legislation that Representative Butler is proposing, and then we will be adjourning until tomorrow. Just based on whatever happens tomorrow, unless they, perhaps I should ask, if not, I'm getting a lot of really blank stares at me. Have they canceled session for tomorrow?
Not that I'm aware of, Mr. Chair. I believe it's at 10 a.m. That's the information I have.
That is correct. If we have anything new to bring forward in terms of numbers, and we are looking at another piece of legislation also, if we are going to work tomorrow, I will let you know, but chances are we probably won't be. So don't get your hopes up that you get to come back in here tomorrow. I know. You just look so disappointed, Representative. Okay, so without further ado, Representative Tom Butler, thank you for coming, and why don't you share with us what your concept is?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Tom Butler, representing House District 60. From southeastern Oregon. I want you to know House District 60. I'm so pleased to represent that district and proud that because it is Oregon's largest House district, that is representing an excess of 25% of the land mass, I figured out the other day that meant also that I was probably the most rural district in the state of Oregon, too. So I want you to know that folks out where we live would appreciate any opportunities we can have towards jobs, and we appreciate the opportunity particularly to talk about jobs in the economy as we move forward, and I appreciate you taking the initiative here today to come forward with the opportunity to talk about ways that we may be able to further employment within the state of Oregon. I have the great pleasure of serving with a member of your committee, Representative King, and with a group of business and education and economic development leaders within the state of Oregon, and on one of the subcommittees recently we discussed the potential for ways that we could attract new executives and new leaders to the state of Oregon to bring new industry. And although this concept does not have the blessing of all of the members of that particular committee, and I'll refrain from mentioning who that committee is because I wouldn't want you to anticipate that this indeed has the full support, because it has only got a subcommittee concept at this particular point. The idea of bringing venture capital, biotechnology, and some kind of signature research firms to the state of Oregon is something that has long been discussed in our committees and has been agreed upon. This is something that we need to be able to do to attract these folks. In that regard, in the 2001 legislative session, I presented what is today called the Small Communities Initiatives Program, the Small Communities Incentive Program. I beg your pardon, the SCIP. And that Small Communities Program invited new to Oregon business to small distressed rural communities within our state, and gave them a 10-year income tax-free benefit for the profits being earned off of that business. In order to do that, they had to invest in property, plant, and equipment within the cities in that in distressed areas of the state, with a very narrow definition of those distressed areas. And those folks further had to employ 10 or more full-time employees at a prevailing wage, and the definition of prevailing wage, with the possibility of an increase in that prevailing wage, or in lieu of that substantial increase in the prevailing wage, the health insurance benefits, full insurance benefits to that employee. And that was to try and attract folks to the rural areas that were in distressed rural economic communities of our state. This bill goes well beyond this concept, and the bill which is in drafting goes well beyond that particular concept. This bill is meant to attract some of Oregon's signature business, which includes the high technology industries and so forth, who are struggling and have some difficulties. This concept is meant to attract more of the high tech folks, and especially and particularly the biotech folks, and then the other layers of those industries and their ancillary partners in the venture capital business. And again, there are members of your committee who have some particular expertise in this area, so I would certainly defer to their knowledge and background. But let me share with you what this would do. This would attempt to draw in those specialists and experts who have had some degree of experience and expertise and success in these particular signature areas, high-profile areas, into Oregon, and allow them an income tax credit, a credit against their Oregon income. It's not really a credit. It's an exemption from income taxes for up to 10 consecutive years as they continued in Oregon in their venture. And the first people, these are divided up into three distinct groups. And let me first refer to the first group. The first group would be really your angel capital and the venture capitalists, the folks that would come to town that would invest in businesses in Oregon. And there has been some success, some history of success in bringing venture capitalists into the state of Oregon by certain firms who say that they will not deal with the venture capitalists unless they have a base of business conduct within the state of Oregon. And that has, in the past, assisted Oregon in actually bringing some of the venture capital firms to the state of Oregon. And let me go through a criteria of what this would be. These folks are established venture capital funds. They would bring established venture capital funds to the state of Oregon. The fund itself would have to have at least $100 million of uninvested funds within their capital fund. And that's the freeboard that they would have to have. We would be seeking not the fund itself. The fund itself would be important, and it would pay taxes when it came to Oregon. But the folks that came to run that by making application with the OECD, being at the partner level within the fund itself, in an existing venture capital firm that has had success outside the state of Oregon, and is willing to relocate both the partner or other folks of that quality level from another state or another country to the state of Oregon with $100 million of uninvested capital, then it would have to demonstrate that the funds within its investing portfolio concentrate either in the technology or bioscience investments. In other words, we're now narrowing it down. Incidentally, in our discussions, in the early discussions, we think that between business and industry and perhaps within some university campuses, the targeted group that we're talking about is a group of a total of about 5,000 individuals nationwide that do not already reside in the state of Oregon. So it's a very, very narrow group that we're looking for of people to come. Then when the partner relocates to Oregon, or is hired into the state of Oregon from another state who represents that fund, and then they must annually make at least one Oregon investment of greater than $1 million in the bioscience investment or the technology fields out of the venture capital resources which they have available. So we have now narrowed that down to a very, very small group of people. Their income from within the state of Oregon, for the partner only, not the money that they make off the venture capital itself, but for the partner who comes to Oregon, the managing people that are brought to Oregon, new to Oregon, would have their income exempt. That would bring all of the other ancillary benefits, including the downstream investors, or the upstream investors and the downstream beneficiaries of the investment itself, would all be paying income taxes on their returns, but the managers of this fund, who are Oregonians themselves, relocate to Oregon, would then have their income exempt. Again, this is a very, very small group of people. We have identified that this has probably happened in a few instances in recent history within the last few years. We believe that by bringing several billion dollars of access to new capital for the bioscience and the technology businesses to the state of Oregon, new venture capital to the state of Oregon, we believe that that will act in itself as an additional spur in the overall research model. The second group of folks...
Can I do a clarification on the income here? I think that you're addressing the earned income of the venture in question, not necessarily all income of that partner or unearned income of that partner. Would that be, is that what you're aiming at?
Mr. Chair, Representative King, it would be exclusive to the partner. It doesn't have anything to do with the income of the venture capital firm.
I understand that, but let's say that a venture capitalist come and they relocate and they meet that, and let's say they make $300,000 a year as their salary in working in this area, because you're working with high-paid individuals by definition. But that person might also have another $1 million a year in unearned income through previous investments that they have or inheritance. I think that you're just aiming at the earned incomes with respect to the venture here, not all income.
Mr. Chair, Representative King, your question is very timely and very excellent. And I, in reviewing this with counsel earlier today, legislative counsel, your take on it was exactly the same as mine, that it would be just from the earnings from within that particular operation. However, these folks must locate in Oregon. Thus, their income tax return would be an Oregon income tax return. Thus, all of their income from the outside ventures would become Oregon income and taxable to Oregon. So what we have here is we have an opportunity to say if they're bringing it in from another state, they're probably already paying tax in some of those other states, but they will be paying tax on everything. And in this case, they would be excluding that which would be earned here. And that's an item that is yet to be defined. The other income, those passive incomes, would come with credits against Oregon income because it would be taxable in another state. And at this particular point, it would just be, yes, you're right, that we're aiming for their earned income within the state of Oregon that would be exempt, but recognizing that if they have income from another state, it would probably already be taxable in that other state. We're anxious to get all of the side benefits that we possibly can, including the downstream flow of not just the jobs of the companies that the venture capitalists are investing in, but also having them attract new capital into the technology and bioscience areas. So at this point, the income is just the ordinary income is defined from this venture. Thank you for that clarification, and we will continue to clarify that. And I, because Mr. Chair, because Representative King has some rather significant experience in this particular area, this entire concept, and as I say, Representative King served with me on at least one of these various committees, and I think on a couple of them, his input will be very valuable because he'll be voting on it at the...
Thank you very much.
Representative Hobson, you have a question or
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just so I understand the clarification, Representative Butler,
What you're saying is that the goal is to have it just the income that accrues because of the particular venture. What Representative King, or what you're saying in response to his, is that really you haven't figured out a way yet to do that, so it would be the total income of that person.
Chair Krupp and Representative Clausen, there is a method of appropriating and allocating income. That legislative council felt like that apportionment formula for an individual would be somewhat difficult to work into the body of this particular bill. He has requested that it be drafted in such a fashion that all of their income would be exempt, because it is new income to Oregon, all of their income would be exempt, because if they are bringing income, a passive income that is earned in another state, it will be taxed in that other state. Oregon will then give a credit against that tax. And so it was his feeling, legislative council's feeling, that this bill, that it would be more easily crafted as opposed to an apportionment formula being worked into this particular bill, that any income that person had from another state would not be taxable in the state of Oregon because it's probably already being taxed in another state.
That any income that person earns within the state of Oregon, regardless of whether it was associated with this particular new venture, the way it is right now, would be exempt from the income tax.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hodson, yes, and the income that he would be earning from that venture would likely, most likely, be the W-2 earnings that he would have as a partner from coming with that firm into the state of Oregon. Now, if a venture capital firm who already has a history, and we look to OECDD, and we've got good OECDD support in this regard, if they have a history of accumulating already in excess of $100 million of uninvested funds, and they come to Oregon, there's a good likelihood that they have rather substantial incomes coming from other states already. And they would bring that income, they would bring that income to Oregon with them, but recognize that it would probably be taxed in another state already, which Oregon would give a credit for. So rather than go through the apportionment factor, legislative council said, or felt, and this would certainly be a decision of the committee at that point, legislative council felt that it would be appropriate to just say the earnings of that individual while they are an Oregon resident are and qualify, meeting all the qualifications here, continue to make the investments in Oregon and continue to have the free board available for investment in Oregon. As long as they continuously qualified for that particular exemption, they could qualify for up to 10 continuous years. Once they cease to qualify, then they cease to be qualified for the program from that point forward. They're then Oregon residents, and if they choose to back out of the system, they're doing so with paying full taxes to the state of Oregon. Continuing on, Mr. Chair, the second area after we've attracted new venture capital to the state of Oregon, and they don't necessarily go in this particular order, for some various reasons, and I may not even be at liberty to discuss those, but the second group of folks that we're attempting to attract through this opportunity would be qualified bioscience individuals and qualified bioscience companies. Those are existing qualified bioscience individuals or companies already in Oregon are not qualified, are not eligible for this benefit. New eligibility would require meeting any of the following criteria, and that is they would be senior level management folks to a new or existing Oregon biotechnology company founded or formed principally here or relocating to Oregon. And then a qualified bioscience company must have the venture capital or small business investment resources of a backing of at least $1 million a year or equal thereto, that is $2 million for 2 years, some sort of a commitment from small business resources. Finally, the key researchers would be required to have either PhD level or MD level of education, and maintain a level, a high level of research within the company. Next, they would be at a management, upper management level, those folks who relocate to a division or a business of a unit of an existing bioscience company within the state of Oregon with divisions or business unit revenues greater than $20 million to the state of Oregon. So we're looking for people that where we could go an existing science industry, bioscience industries, that need high-level people, researchers, PhDs, and MDs, that need these high-level people, they could attract them to Oregon and attract them to Oregon, but only when the total revenue of this particular employing enterprise is over $20 million. This is for the existing folks that are already here. And finally, previous founders of bioscience companies who have successfully created at least one publicly held company and who start another venture company back here in Oregon, meeting all of the other criteria. So those folks who have already been successful and in this particular industry and make application to the OECD, meeting the PhD, MD, and the other requirements, including the multi-million dollars of sales and the multi-million dollars of venture capital going into the firm and an employing enterprise, these folks could then qualify for ordinary income being not subject to Oregon tax. Again, and I'll come back to that in just a moment. Again, these are folks that are pre-qualified by OECD. Now, again, coming back to my previous bill, which benefited small communities and their investment programs in small communities, we were very cognizant of the issue of competition, and were concerned that no business be allowed to have these kinds of benefits, and that was for a business employing enterprise as opposed to individuals, that they not be able to take out or knock out existing employing businesses and enterprises within the state of Oregon. And so what we did was we made sure that OECD had, as part of the charge in the bill, to make sure that we weren't just shuffling employees. That having been said, let me share with you something that I have learned, and I'm going to use some street language here, and I hope that you won't think ill of me, Mr. Chair, or ladies in the audience, but I've learned that this particular high-tech and biotech industry, relative to their employees, and particularly the upper management, upper-level employees, are tremendously incestuous. They love each other. They trade employees around a lot. And this is one way that they spur on new ideas within their own companies. And that, in part, is what precipitates this request to bring more people to the state of Oregon so that existing companies could be able to lure them and draw them away. Now, if this particular person who has been lured to Oregon is not continuing his or her employment and all other respects qualifies in years 1, 2, and 3 of meeting this particular bioscience criteria and then is lured away for much more money into another field, and if the company that isn't presently generating the tens of millions of dollars worth of jobs and resources in the state of Oregon, that person then loses that capacity to have this income earned tax-free. So that having been said, there's some advantage to existing firms having these folks to come to town, even though it might be seen as an unfair competitor by bringing a PhD level management person on from another state to come to Oregon, but then everybody in town gets an opportunity to kind of reach out and grab a hold of that employee as well, and it gives them some exposure to the other industries that are already existing in Oregon, which need this fresh new blood. And final area, and I don't want to move into the high tech area without having said that Oregon's, I would just address the high tech area in this regard, something that we understand in the timber community. You know, we could go ahead and be milling or be harvesting a lot of trees and be shipping them overseas, but it doesn't make a great deal of sense when our mills are shut down and closed here for us to be shipping those jobs overseas. And the same is true with regard to our high-tech industry. We have capacity in Oregon to produce a huge amount of high-technology chips and other kinds of high-technology innovations and advancements, but then we very dutifully package all of these things up and put them in a bundle and put them on an airplane, ship them overseas where these are repackaged into the final product and then shipped back. And keeping that in mind, one of the areas that ties together with the high tech and the biosciences, and that's why you see the term medical doctor, MD, included in our studies here, would be to attempt to lure to Oregon digital medicine, which is probably ranks as high as bioscience as there can possibly be, using the high-tech innovations which we already have within the state of Oregon and using the existing chief executive operations directors that now live within Oregon. Again, in the high-tech industry, those folks who live now or work now within the state of Oregon would not qualify for any of this benefit. And it would be, again, upper-level management who have successfully run companies of greater than $100 million in sales for the last 2 years, who are founded companies which have grown beyond the $50 million annual sales under his or her tenure. These would be high-level management folks who relocate to Oregon to start another company or who serve on five boards of directors of high technology or bioscience companies while living here full time, coming to Oregon, new to Oregon, and bringing their expertise out of major foreign corporations to the state of Oregon by serving on five boards of directors of high tech or biotech companies while living in Oregon. Again, meeting the high standards of the hundreds of millions of dollars in sales or the growth of companies under their direction before they come to Oregon and bring their expertise and knowledge to the state of Oregon. Now, finally, I'd like to share with you that this particular proposal bears with it something similar to what the small communities incentive program had, and that is those folks who wish to qualify and make application to do this, and this isn't really a registration card to move around in the United States, but in order to qualify, need to make application with the OECDD and pay a $1,000 upfront fee to have their credential examined, and then for each of the 10 years, up to 10 years, that they could be certified under this program, would pay an additional $1,000 per year to be certified by the OECDD that they are meeting all of the criteria within the industries that they serve, so that their income could continue to be income tax free, so that we're not just inviting folks to come to Oregon to move income around to a tax-free nature. We're actually forcing them into the market to use that income and their substantial capital resources to invest in Oregon, invest in Oregon businesses, invest in employing enterprises in Oregon, and then use their knowledge and skills and technology backgrounds to spur on Oregon's economy by bringing the very best of their knowledge and background as a board member and a contributing member of our community. And so there would be a fiscal impact, that is, by going to universities and other industries in other states to try and attract these folks away, and we already have a cadre of excellent volunteers within a number of the commissions around the state, and by going to other industries and to other university campuses and so forth, Oregon would be seen as the first of the states to offer these kinds of incentives, because other states will be considering this as a direct affront to their ability to teach and educate and maintain their own good workforces in the other states. And after all, Oregon is a great state to come and live in, and we don't want to say just come and visit here and leave. We want to say come and visit here and share your wealth of knowledge as well help us do better what you have learned to do better through your extensive training, and bring us that wealth of knowledge, and let us then put people to work and earn from it. So in that regard, because of the fee that is charged for anyone who would come and participate in this, we anticipate that there would be as many as 100 people a year that could meet the criteria, and so the OECD has indicated that there, and we'll get some final numbers on that, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that there could be $100,000 collected from this, and as much as $100,000 would be then utilized in offsetting any additional costs which the OECD would have in administering this program, thus making it revenue neutral. And because all of the people that are involved are new to Oregon, this doesn't really involve existing Oregon folks, they're all new to Oregon, those folks would be, this would be new property tax revenue as these folks bought and built new homes, and then any additional jobs and investments they would make. And I would be happy to entertain any questions. However, at this point, I would guess that Representative King probably knows more about this field than do I. And I would think that, you know, if we were to take a look around the neighborhood, that we'd love to have some old job here in the Kellogg County or down Halsey or somewhere. So I'd be happy to entertain any questions that I could answer.
Representative Hopkins, you're first. Representative King, you're second.
Thank you. Mine's rather simple. I'm so visual. Representative Butler, you originally said there were three groups, and I identified when you were talking the organization or the venture capitalist itself as an organization, then the individuals, the PhDs or MDs who would come to work in various capacities. What was the third group?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hobson, I'm sorry that I didn't delineate that more clearly. After the venture capitalist, it was the qualified bioscience individuals and then the qualified high-tech individuals, and those two are almost indistinguishable between the two, except that the high-tech is already here. The bioscience is something that we are attempting to attract, and so we would put a little different spin on the folks that we would be attracting new to Oregon with regard to the high-tech executives and leaders in the industry that we'd be attempting to attract to Oregon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my second question, did you indicate that the qualifiers for the economically distressed areas are already drawn up, or are there some in place that would cover the specific areas to which this would be applicable?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Hobson. Thank you for that question. I love to talk about the small communities incentives program, and the reason for that is that bill was passed in the last session. And it did have it had the availability of someone to bring a business to Oregon in any kind of an employing enterprise, whether it was a small corporation or and it had to be in small communities that are distressed financially, high unemployment, meeting the top one quartile of the unemployment numbers in the state of Oregon, and being in the bottom quartile of all of the per capita income within the state. And we're finding, Representative Hobson, that the restrictions that we placed on that are very, very restrictive, and we wanted it that way to see how it would test out. They had to locate their business within the existing limits of a city of less than 10,000, and that's not been a problem, except that I'm finding that many of the small towns that which could assimilate those businesses, they would have to be located in their urban growth boundaries because we don't have very much industrial land to bring those people. And so of the four counties that qualified, Sherman, Gillen, Wheeler, and Lake, that presently qualify, Lake County is really the natural because they have a beautiful airport and they've got a good workforce there. And the problem is that all of the industrial land in Lake County is next to town. And I wanted it next to town. I wanted it in town because I wanted the city services. Well, it's serviced within the city, but it has all the city services, but it's outside the city limits. And so what I need to have is, and I hope in this next session, we'll be able to include some of those new businesses to Lake and or other counties that would qualify in towns of under 10,000 by allowing both within the urban growth boundary, where, again, they're still serviced by the city services. Didn't want new grain fields, new wells being put in the ground and so forth. We wanted those within the city services, which they are in Lakeview particularly, and also to expand that, Representative Hobson, to include port districts. We're finding that port districts provide all of the same kinds of things, that is sewer and water and all of the other utilities and accoutrements, just like a city, but there are some port districts that are in distressed areas of the state, distressed counties that meet those qualifications or that could meet those qualifications. And to the extent that ports, whether the inland ports or ports within the coastal region within our counties that do suffer from stress, then the ports within those counties could provide those services too. So that bill will be, I hope to see it expanded this next session. And there have been no companies that have been actually able to take advantage of it. It was very narrow in its scope. And again, we were tampering with something to try and bring something to those areas where income was low and unemployment was high.
Thank you.
Representative King, you're next.
Well, the Congress is just pregnant with a flagged opportunity in bringing a new biotech industry into Oregon is, I think, really critical for our future, and it's highly competitive, and we're going to have to do a lot to even be in the game. And we have, for a long time, had a whole bunch of terrific research expertise come out of our university systems with zero ability to capitalize on the opportunity that exists there. And all 50 states and probably some of the territories are trying to ramp up so that, you know, what we've accomplished in high tech, to some degree we can, you know, accomplish in biotech. So I think that lots of opportunity and very little downside. If there's an area of concern I have, is that we want to do, you know, a lot of good things for the rural areas, and, you know, that's my favorite neighborhood. Favorite neighborhood ever on the committee that's here, but, you know, for sure. But it's also true that competition is so tough that, you know, it's hard to attract somebody that might have $1 million a year income, you know, to an area that it doesn't have very many nice restaurants, or it doesn't have, you know, the Schnitzer Theater to go to, or the Holt Center, you know, those quality of life aspects. So a lot of times they want to land in the areas that are having the strongest economic strength that don't need as much incentive. Whether it goes rural or whether it goes urban, you know, Oregon needs to have that come, and we really need to work real hard, you know, to have that come into our marketplace. So I want to attract them no matter which way they come. If we can put a little more butter on the bread to have them land rurally, you know, so much the better. But I think it's key that we have that success occur in the best way that success can occur.
Mr. Chair, if I could respond, I appreciate Representative King's input. There would be a possibility, particularly under the qualified bioscience, and please recognize that qualified bioscience could go very well in conjunction with the lower campus that's presently being discussed and approved for OHSU. These folks could be, in fact, already here among us in the form of doctoral students that are in our midst but not Oregonians. And if they've come to lecture for a year in Oregon from Wisconsin and find that they really love it here and that they can make a major contribution in the biosciences, and particularly with the build-out in the Oregon Health and Sciences University, it would be a shame to put these folks back on an airplane and ship these high-level PhD researchers that have been teaching us how to research, to ship them back out of state. And so if they are non-Oregonians and we want to try and attract them, this would certainly be a way to do that. And finally, Mr. Chair, if I may just say this relative to this effort, and I do appreciate the support of Representative King and others who work in these important areas. I had an opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to travel to China this past year, and I still have to get that 10 pounds off my belt. But But my brother said you'll lose a pound a day in China, and I came back after 10 days having gained 10 pounds. So I'm going to take that out on my brother. It just stuck to me. But I learned that in old Chinese, the symbol for crisis was the same as the symbol for opportunity. And Oregon may find itself in crisis, but we need to look at this as, and I have some deeply held religious convictions, we need to look at this as a divine, a given opportunity for us to go ahead and change the way that Oregon attracts people to come here. And we can't have the attitude anymore that you can come to Oregon, but please don't stay. We dearly need the jobs. And anything, and this session, it would be a shame if the Oregon legislators came and went during the economic crisis five times from special sessions and didn't pass a single jobs bill. I think that it would be a real handicap and a real smear on our character if we didn't make every attempt, and I honor the committee members for coming and participating and being part of this process for being anxious to give us a jobs bill. But, you know, the difference between Oregon's economy today and a robust economy is jobs. And as soon as we can go out there and get that word on the street that Oregon is a great place to come and work in, and Oregon is a great place to bring your businesses to, then I think we'll have the jobs. And I think that gives us then the opportunity to take a crisis and make a real opportunity, an employing opportunity out of it.
Great concept, Representative Buttle. I have some questions for you.
Yes, sir.
First off, you're listing, I have three, or actually I have four groups down here: venture capitalists, qualified bioscience researchers, bioscience companies, with at least $20 million in revenue?
Mr. Chair, yes. Those would be folks that are the qualified biosciences, bioscientists that work with companies of greater than $20 million of Oregon revenue.
Okay. And then a fourth group I had listed in listening to you was previous founders of other bioscience companies with at least $100 million in sales annually.
Those would be high tech people, and those could be biotech, but those would be high tech people that would be imported to Oregon. In other words, they'd had success somewhere else, and we'd go out and reach out and grab a hold of them and bring them to Oregon.
So the concept here is that we're going to limit all of these four groups of people to just 100 people per year that can qualify for this particular credit. Or exemption, I should say.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much for that question. The concept originally was to go ahead and limit the number of people to whom this opportunity would be extended. Since that concept, there's a couple of issues that may be of concern to us. The market is so small from the individuals from whom we would have to choose, that our concern would be that we want the maximum number of folks to come and qualify and pay. And we had originally limited the concept to 100 individuals. Since that time as well, in discussing this with legislative council is concerned that may create an unfair income tax advantage to the 100th person that qualifies over the 101st person that qualifies. And so, at this point, I would ask that the committee consider opening this opportunity to all comers that are willing to come forward and qualify with these are all high bar qualifications, that the opportunity be open to all of these folks that qualify and that can pay the $1,000 to bring their business and expertise to the state of Oregon.
So then the crux of what you're driving at here is we're going to offer an incentive for these types of individuals and companies to come to Oregon, pay us $1,000 a year for a license fee to operate here. In exchange for that, we're going to offer them tax exemption for 10 consecutive years but they have to qualify every year, and that at some point in time, their presence here and the fact that they're able to produce other revenues will offset the revenues that we would have normally not received, or we would have received had it not been a tax exemption.
Mr. Chair, it's an excellent question to ask. Would these people have come to Oregon anyway without this incentive?
It's an issue I'm struggling with in my own legislation, as a matter of fact.
And we would, I think that I would say this, and there are members of the committees that I am referring to that are meeting relative to these issues that are conflicted in this particular issue because they feel like that Oregon is a great place to come and work without any kind of incentives, and I guess the other incentives that exist should be sufficient. And I would say that my response is, number one, we do have the highest level of unemployment and the highest level of hunger in the United States as a state. But I would also then say that I would rather err on the side of offering an attraction to these folks. And if we found that Oregon could qualify, could immediately qualify at 5,000, all 5,000 of the people that are in this particular area, these areas of expertise, and bring them all here so that we had all of the venture capital funds that dealt, the presence of all the venture capital funds that dealt in high science, high technology, biosciences, and so forth, present in the state of Oregon. And we had all of the rest of the scientists that would qualify, scientists and high-level folks, then wouldn't it be a great place to live and work amongst those folks, and I would hope that we could do that. So I'd rather err on the side of offering some kind of a hook, if you will, to bring them to Oregon, to let them know that we're here. If we found that after the first couple of years that 5,000 folks had signed up for it, this legislation could be put on ice at that particular point. And at that point, you have, and I anticipate that it would be, at that point, you probably have 5,000 new, highly qualified people that are probably generating 50 or 100,000 high qualified jobs that surround and support those folks. And at that particular point, Oregon is well out of the problems that we're in today in our economic crisis. And then what would happen is those folks would indeed, Mr. Chair, continue to earn money for the next 10 years, assuming they continue to qualify in every respect. They would continue to earn money as Oregon residents, which would be income tax-free, but that income may have been earned in the state of Nevada or the state of Wisconsin without ever paying any Oregon income tax on it in the first place.
So Representative Butler, and this is more focused on venture capital than I think of anything else, a venture capitalist who moves to this state because we grant them this great opportunity for personal success, brings their company with $100 million of uninvested available capital, and some of that, one investment per year has to be made in the state of Oregon. That venture capital firm, in addition to investing in one investment a year in the state of Oregon, which will produce income ultimately, that investment capital firm will also be creating a positive cash flow by employing people. There will also be capital gains taxes. Perhaps there will certainly be corporate taxes from that. So even though the venture capitalist is getting his income tax exempt for 10 years, the company he brings here and the business it generates still will be taxed at normal rates.
That's correct.
So is it not true that in the venture capitalist business, the real asset of a venture capital firm is the management? because they're the ones who make the decisions. They're the one, as I understand it, in this industry, because it's a very small, select group of people throughout America and the world. They tend to know each other, and when one person makes a decision to move their venture capital firm to Oregon, pretty soon everybody finds out about it. And if the person who's driving that, the CEO, the manager, the owner of that venture capital firm, doesn't make the decision to come here, then the firm doesn't come here, in essence. Because these are not typically, I can't say they're not typically, because there are some large venture capital firms, but a lot of these are going to be venture capital firms that were started by individuals and they've been very successful, and they still very tightly control them. So you have to give that individual a reason to come here and bring that venture capital firm here and bring all the business they're going to generate.
And Mr. Chair, thank you. That's correct. What I do want to say is that the likelihood is that the actual firm itself would have its address somewhere on Wall Street, but would have an Oregon partner. And that it's by bringing that Oregon partner to Oregon where, first of all, they get some roots into some of the soil that creates the greatness that Oregon is. But once they bring that partner here, they now have a very good reason to bring the partner. In the past, these transactions have all been taken care of pretty much electronically, and the folks can continue to live in New York and do pretty well. The difference is that we feel like that if we can bring that venture capitalist with all of that free board and with the incentive to continue to invest in Oregon small business, that we will not just get that new family that moves in and builds the home in the neighborhood, but we will also then have an office which represents that firm in Oregon that's actively seeking and encouraging the industries which have made Oregon's economy grow so well in the past decade. So it's our firm belief that by bringing these folks to Oregon, that yes, there is an incentive to come to Oregon, and there is a very high bar. Keep in mind that high bar is these are certainly dollars well outside the scope of anything I've ever considered doing, but these firms do exist. They presently exist. There are a number, hundreds, as a matter of fact, internationally, of funds that are high-tech and bioscience firms, hundreds of them that are venture capital firms that do not have any base of business support in the state of Oregon. And so by bringing a partner with an office to Oregon, then yes, there are other jobs, but then also then there's opportunities for those folks that need the angel capital to bring them along to go ahead and continue to grow their business outside of their garage and into the Main Street America. We need to bring them to Main Street Oregon.
So the reality is that when you bring money to the state of Oregon, there's more opportunity for people closer to that money by geographic area to take advantage of it, to have a relationship with those people, for those venture capitalists to be able to go out to their garage and see the great little project that they're bringing along, and the great little business that we saw here yesterday on Microlights, that is in essence being run out of a very small facility in a very rural community. Those kinds of things you're saying would benefit. Oregon businesses would benefit by the fact that these people are here in close proximity to us.
Well, yes, Mr. Chair, and I definitely want to capitalize on a portion of what you said, is that if you've got someone who's building a better mousetrap and they're doing so in their garage, the access to venture capital could give them an opportunity to build a full building and bring that idea into full maturation. And I would say that this is elementary, but there are three very principal items of elements to our capitalist society, and number one is access to finances, and certainly number two then is the access to personnel, and that's, we're trying to create both of those in this bill, and then number three is the access to the natural resources and the ability to generate those natural resources into something that
that generates high technology and creates wealth and growth. And that's what we want to do, is bring number one and number two, the capital and the brain power, the personnel, to the forefront, and then let them go ahead and do what Oregonians do best, and that is live good lives, good healthy lives, protect the environment, and make good money, and send us their checks every month.
President King, in bringing venture capital to Oregon, we're probably only talking about maybe four or five partners. There's maybe 5,000 venture capital, investment banking individuals in the country. And that, one of our problems has been critical mass. And it's only recently that Oregon's been able to attract, some venture capital, firms at all. You'd be able, a company and doing venture capital down in San Jose could go to one restaurant and do more deals in a day than they could get, in the whole state, by combing the state. And, then they also have limitations on their personnel to be able to follow them once you put your money in. And so it's pretty difficult to keep track of 10 or 20 businesses up in Oregon when you'd be able to keep track of maybe 50 or 100, in the Bay Area. So you've got some real economy of scale issues. So, you're right in saying we're not changing Colbert, Kravis, and Roberts from New York City, but we may end up with, the Northwest partner, based in Oregon, which would be pretty powerful, because then there's a place to go. And, the 100 people count that, you might hope to have would be more of the other layers than the venture capital level. So if we got four or five venture partners, into the neighborhood, that'd be a very powerful thing. I mean, you'd be, probably, moving, $300-400 million to a billion or two, somewhere in that range of financial firepower behind them for deals that could, get above the bar.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate Representative King mentioning the opportunity to expand and having these folks in town with an office in Portland or somewhere in the metropolitan area so that we would have the access to those folks, and particularly with regard to the firm that you mentioned, KKR, these folks do have funds that concentrate in high technology and biosciences. And so they are naturals to bring an office into downtown metropolitan Oregon and bring those and a place where then the small tech, small entrepreneur that has a high tech idea or a bioscience idea could go and find the true venture capital. And that's exactly, they have funds, and that's one of the criteria, is to have funds which concentrate in these high technology areas and in the bioscience investments. Exactly right.
A couple of questions that I think we're probably done. Do you have an idea of where we're at in terms of revenue on this? Is this revenue neutral? Does the program pay for itself ultimately, if you factor in all of the various components here economically, or where are we at?
Mr. Chair, I visited with some of the folks from Oregon Economic Development Department, and we believe that we already have on staff folks who are out trying to attract this kind of business. To the extent that we would be incurring any kinds of new expenses relative to going out and trying to attract on college campuses or on within other businesses, we believe that the business community will assist in large part, assist us in that regard. But finally, there is the fee of the $1,000, and we anticipated that we could probably draw 100 folks that would have some interest, and that would generate $100,000 in revenue. And we believe that for a biennium, that this program all told would not cost over $200,000. So we believe that it would be revenue and expense neutral, that there would be no fiscal, other than that they would have, OECDD would need the authorization in the budgeting process to go ahead and expend those monies which it receives for the applications to expend those in time and energy to attract and then to qualify those folks who would come online under this kind of a law. So we believe that if dynamically modeled and if the program were to be a success, that is 100 new people coming to Oregon meeting any of these three criteria, 100 new businesses coming to Oregon under this program, we believe that if that were dynamically modeled, that it could bring virtually billions of dollars to our economy and hundreds of millions of dollars to the state treasury. And that's why I say it won't hurt my feelings to have them send their monthly payroll checks for the Oregon withholding in on these kinds of businesses.
Last question. If all of these components to this idea work in terms of attracting people here and they take advantage of the tax exemption for all of these years, and there is an initial revenue impact that's negative in terms of income tax revenues coming to the general fund, do you think that we ought to be willing as a state to accept some short-term lower revenues to create a longer-term, more stable economic diversity in this state by bringing not only venture capitalists but the biotech industry to this state to offset our natural resources and high-tech base?
Mr. Chair, I'll answer that in a couple of parts. Number one, I don't believe for a minute that this will reduce our revenues at any point. Our revenues, again, these are all new people, new Oregonians, which could actually generate more in terms of property tax to local government. And again, that goes back to the small communities bill. That small communities program said the state ought to be picking up some of the freight as opposed to property tax exemptions. These people are investing in property plant equipment. These folks would be investing in property for themselves and probably an office and probably at least secretarial, and I shouldn't say least because that's the most important person in my office is the secretary, but they will be investing in at least those kinds of salaries, if not other types of salaries for business support and those kinds of things. So I believe this bill will generate dynamically much more revenue, and I do not believe that it will have, other than the cost of printing and publishing and getting the regulations through OECD, and those folks are in the regulations process fairly frequently, that we will be able to move this forward without any interruption in the revenues of the state. That having been said, I would say that if we were to come up with programs that were to have definite known enhancements to employment, not necessarily this afternoon's increase in the employment, but within a few months, and that employment would be sustained for not less than 24 months, I believe that it would be worthwhile for us to be considering looking at the investment of a few hundreds of thousands, if not a few millions of dollars today in exchange for, that's an investment I'll make any day of the week. If I can produce an ROI of 0.25 on that, and I think that what you're talking about is are definitely programs, Mr. Chair, that have huge amounts of return back to the general fund revenue in a very short period of time by encouraging business to go ahead and take the next step. And there's even a program called within the Small Business Administration, Taking the Next Step.
It's a great concept, Representative, and I, as chair of this committee, although I cannot speak for the other members, especially those who have not heard it today, am certainly willing to pursue this. And if you want to move forward with it, as far as I'm concerned, bring us a draft, and we'd be happy to get it introduced tomorrow if you're ready to do that so that we can have a first reading on the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think perhaps the extra Johnson may be here, and there might even be folks here from the OECD that would be willing to advance and be recognized so that they could kind of give you a flavor. And if Dexter is here, he could kind of give you some idea.
Dexter, do we have anyone from OECD? Come forward, please. Welcome, Dexter.
Mr. Chair, Representative King, good afternoon. Dexter Johnson, Legislative Council Office. Let me start with making a note about drafting. This is a complicated bill. It would not be possible to be ready for tomorrow. And
thank you for that update.
I would say optimistically Monday would be the earliest.
Okay. Okay. Well, that clarifies that then. Your thoughts about the processes here in terms of the particular components of how this bill is laid out and to who it's directed to, venture capital for individuals, firms, bioscience. Any complications you see here?
Mr. Chair, there are first of all, let me talk about a constitutional issue that I've discussed somewhat with Representative Butler. It has to do with this 100 person limit, and there are constitutional requirements that the taxes be applied on a uniform basis, and that there be in tax classification where you're classifying people into different groups, that there be a rational basis for treating people differently. And just by having a set limit of 100 people that may qualify, I think you run into difficulties, constitutional difficulties with that.
Excuse me, Representative King?
I'd appreciate if Representative Butler could maybe come forward, because I think that the 100 is pretty self-limiting anyway and, you know, could avoid that issue.
So there's a constitutional issue there of limiting that particular portion of the concept, and so your recommendation is not to have a limit at all.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. If you don't put a person limit in the bill, I think you eliminate all of those problems.
Okay.
The other drafting concerns have to do with, defining terms like venture capital, like qualified bioscience, like high tech. What are those concepts? At the moment, just for getting a draft forward, unless Representative Butler or someone else has input, I can try and look around for some common definitions of those terms, but those are things that have to be dealt with in the draft. The draft has to set up some kind of a application process to economic development and certification process by the department. But we can use the model of the your bill from last session, House Bill 3770, to do that, so that's not insurmountable. There are other drafting issues about just getting all of these requirements down and seeing what an applicant would have to actually meet. Getting that down, that could lead to some complications.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate Mr. Johnson's coming forward, and I also have with us today from the OECD, Mr. Ron Fox, who has worked with me somewhat on this concept and is keeping our group informed of how we're proceeding. So I would think that, and I know that Mr. Fox will make himself available to assist in the definition of any terms that Legislative Council has to address those issues. And then certainly Representative King has a good deal of venture capital experience in the securities business background himself. There's no pride in authorship or ownership in this particular end of it here. The important thing is to get Oregonians an opportunity to get back to work, and this is one way that we believe in doing that.
So while Representative King is asking his question, I'd like to ask Ron to come forward from OECDD.
And I was just going to suggest that it sounds like Ron would be a great conduit, and he'd be authorized to talk to Dexter directly on that. But that the OCED committee, that Oregon Council for Knowledge and Economic Development, these are bona fide smart people who are working on this. I think that they'd be glad to maybe even over the weekend to help put some concepts forward to help provide some definition around this, so that Dexter doesn't have to go chasing far enough apart. He's got enough to do without that, and probably be some valuable help on that.
Ron, welcome. Your thoughts.
And that council was created at legislative direction, so that is a legislatively created body. So I mean, it is part of the legislative process already.
Okay.
Chairman and other representatives. My name is Ron Fox. I'm the manager of business and industry programs at the Economic Community Development Department. And I have to say, I've had the pleasure, and I mean that sincerely, of staffing one of the three subcommittees that operates under the Council for Knowledge and Economic Development, the Capital and Business Formation. I'm the scribe and the coordinator for it, and the real intellectual input to this comes from the members of the committee and as the representative. King has mentioned there are some very people who have honest knowledge about this market, the influences of capital investors and how that's happening. So I'd be happy to provide as much support. It's a continuation of what I see as my staff role as directed by the council members. So I'm happy to help as necessary.
So you think it's a good idea, Ron?
I think it's an idea that the council members, the members of the committee, came to, I think, as a result of a lot of hard work, and I think they deserve further consideration. It's something that needs to have that further discussion and development. So yeah. And I guess the other thing, Chairman, I would say is there are members of that committee from the private sector. I get paid to be there. There's members of that committee, all of those committees, who are donating a tremendous amount of time, and I think they really deserve some appreciation for that dedication. It's been phenomenal over the last 9 or 10 months to see the amount of commitment they've made to how Oregon's future can be set.
Well noted. Well noted. Any further questions, Representative?
Mr. Chair, I would like to just express my gratitude for the assistance of Dexter, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Fox, others who have contributed a great deal of time and energy, and it's been said, there's no compensation that these folks receive other than the fact that they love Oregon, and we see an opportunity for Oregon to grow itself out of the current recession, as opposed to trying to figure other ways of growing ourselves or getting ourselves out of a recession. I think that if Oregon will attempt to grow itself out, it leaves Oregon, as you come out of a recession, it makes Oregon a much better place to live and to do business. And we'll be, as we try and grow ourselves out of a recession, we actually are a better place to we'll be the first to enjoy the fruits of these kinds of public endeavors and the gratis attempts by the members of these committees and commissions to make Oregon successful without having to rely upon the government to give a handout.
Well, Representative, I would heartily agree with you. I think this is a very interesting idea, and it's a pretty good direction. I'd like to see you move forward with it from my perspective as chair of this committee, and I'm certainly willing to assist you in any way. If you move forward, then we'll be anxiously awaiting Dexter's draft whenever he can make it available to us. So. And with that, I want to thank you all very much. Anyone else in the audience like to add anything? If not, have a great weekend. If you're not silly enough to stick around here like we're going to for the rest of the weekend, and we are adjourned.